the Oscar. The Directorate of Public Relations of the Australian Army presents War Correspondent. Your name is Mike McCann. You're a war correspondent. For the people of this atomic time who know that peace belongs only to the prepared, you tell these stories of the Australian Army on active service. Your name is Mike McCann, war correspondent.
I'm Mike McCann. In time of war, there are men who rise head and shoulders above their comrades, either by heroism, endurance, sacrifice, or sheer skill. And likewise, in warfare, there are units, organizations consisting mainly of men drawn from all walks of life, knit together, and by their united heroism, endurance, sacrifice, and sheer skill, rise as an example to others. By their achievements in adversity, are such units remembered. We remember and honor the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps that sailed out of Mudras Bay on the 14th of April 1915 to land at Garba Teep. We remember with pride the 9th Australian Division at El Alamein. And we remember, too, the stand of the 3rd Battalion Royal Australian Regiment at Kap Yong in Korea. But the story I'm about to tell you is a story of a unit of which most of you have never heard. Its work was behind the scenes, and its achievements didn't figure in battle communiques. But its triumph over adversity and its devotion to duty in all the terrible circumstances was an example as Australian soldiers came to grips with the Japanese in the fight for New Guinea and the other islands to the north of Australia. The time was in mid-1942, when the Japanese were thrusting forward strong in sea and air power, and with a mighty army as yet unimpaired by defeat. The place where this story unfolded was Milne Bay, a steaming, festering, swampy shelf on the malarial-ridden tail of New Guinea. A sweltering land strip that gave itself up to jungle, a boggy foothold below the spurs of the Owen Stanley Ranges. And yet, it was desired by the Japanese as a vital stepping-off place for their assault against Port Moresby. In August 1942, the Japanese made three determined landings in the area. And bitter was the fight that ensued. But that comes later in our story. The story begins on August the 21st, 1942, just 3 days before New Guinea coast watchers saw the first Japanese invasion heading at full speed towards Milne Bay. It was on August the 21st as more than 7,000 Australian soldiers stood to in their defensive positions around Milne Bay that three Australian troopships drew into harbour at Milne Bay and discharged the 110th Australian Army Casualty Clearing Station.
Hey, this is no good, copper. Let's feel your pulse. Yeah. Come on. Just get my arm under your shoulders. I'm going to put you somewhere dry and get you wrapped up in blankets. Then we'll give you something to get this fever down. Come on now, that's it. I'll get my shoulder under you. Come on now. How long have you had this, copper? Not long, eh? Looks like a sharp attack. This is drier here. At least it's not mud. This is Milne Bay. Just stinking mud and malaria. Come on, copper. Wrap this ground sheet round you. I'll get a jeep and get you shifted to the field ambulance. Of a jeep can move through this mud. What a welcome to Milne Bay. Rain that you can't see through. Yeah, well, give the blokes time to unload the equipment without the zeros getting onto them. There you are, copper. Now, get this quinine into you. Come on, open up.
I'll be right.
You'll be right, sure enough, copper. Right under this Milne Bay mud, unless I get you to treatment soon. Come on, swallow this.
Right at 30 degree, up 100,
fire! Now, take it easy, copper. Just take it easy. You won't be seeing a gun for a while. Now, take it easy now. You'll be fighting the war from a hospital bed for a while. That's if we can get our hospital up. Well, the way our stores are being dumped in the mud down there for the unloading point, we won't have any hospital left. Oh, now, rest easy. I'll see if I can scrounge a jeep. Ah, Yakova, you gonna live?
Could be. Worse luck. Where am I?
Ah, take it easy now. You're in hospital. You're in the 110th Casualty Clearing Station. You're in good hands, Copper, so just relax. Their motto is never lose a paying customer, and we'll do that for you. Just so long as you don't slip over in the mud, then you'll vanish from sight.
But where?
Now, don't go getting yourself upset. You're in hospital. There's nothing to worry about. Admittedly, this is no private ward in the Royal Prince Alfred in Sydney, but it's the best hospital around these parts. We landed off the troop ships just 2 days ago. Our CO, Colonel Wall, is battling round through the mud with Colonel Maitland and the other big shots to find us a better posse. Yeah, we had 10 inches of rain the day we landed. Every piece of equipment got a good soaking in a mud bar. Ah, but that's our worry. We've got 100 or so booms clearing a space in the kunai grass up past some place they call Sago Swamp. Sounds tasty, doesn't it? Oh, that reminds me. The boys are trying to get a kitchen up. Then we'll see if we can't get some tucker in here. We'll have those guns manned, eh? How are you feeling now, Cobber?
I'm feeling a lot better. Thanks for picking me up. It was you who picked me up, wasn't it?
Couldn't leave you lying there in the mud. You look too comfortable. Now, let's check the vital statistics. Stick this in your mouth. Let's have your rest.
Where are we going?
If you're asking when you can get out, I'd say you can forget it for a couple of weeks. Anyway, it's cozy here now. We've got 30 beds in, and the tents are nicely camouflaged with palm leaves and mud. Another thing, we're in the 2nd 9th Battalion area, so if the Japs come along, we'll have someone to look after us. Yeah, hey, tents down again. Real seesaw, isn't it? Up at night, down in the morning. The Japs... Oh, don't worry about them. They're reported heading this way by sea, but we've got good battalions here. They might land, but they won't stay. Not unless they're mad. We've been here 4 days now, and for mine, the Japs can have it. That's the only entertainment we've got. The RAAF boys got 2 zeros earlier today. Oh, can you see through that tent flap?
Yeah. Say, what's your name?
Call me Doc. Of course I'm no doctor, you know that. Just a nurse without skirts. But there's no doctors anymore. All captains and majors. See them coming over the tops of the trees?
Yeah. Good view, mate. The fella feels helpless lying here in bed.
Don't worry about nip planes. They can't see us in here among these coconut palms and kunai grass. They'll have to get a direct hit on you to do any damage. The mud outside's so thick it's up to your knees, no kidding. No vehicles can get along our approach road. No, Copper, I'm more scared of Kolobai Creek about 100 yards up above us. It goes up and down like your fever. I hope you don't go too high or we'll end up down in the sea. Oh, there go our fighters.
They've got one, Doc. They've got one.
Sure, but you just get your head back on that pillar or I'll close the tent flap up. We're here to cure you, not bring on a relapse. Cost the government a lot of money to ship this 600-bed hospital up here. You show your gratitude by getting better. Douse that cigarette, Copper. You're too sick to smoke.
Funny thing, you saw me smoking this afternoon. You didn't say anything. What's doing, Doc? The Japs?
As far as I know, the nearest Japs in Tokyo.
That's not the way it sounded when I heard a couple of the other orderlies talking tonight.
Oh, okay. Jap warships have been sighted out there, and Jap landing barges are headed towards us. Be here before dawn. That's why the boys are busy getting the operating theater together. It's too muddy to transport the equipment, so we've got to manhandle it. But she'll be all right. Small and muddy and inside the 2nd 9th Battalion area, but she should do as an operating theater. Oh, now you've got the whole picture. What about snatching some shut-eye?
Fine chance, knowing the Japs are heading in. I couldn't sleep.
Yes, you can. Get these tablets into you. Go on down with them. That's right. When you wake up, you might find one of those pretty Jap nurses holding your hand.
Are we making out, Doc?
Fine, fine. We got 50 beds up now. Two surgical teams working round the clock. We're really moving.
I mean about the Japs.
Oh, them. They're under control. The boys of the 61st, those CMF lads, really gave the Japs curry. Lads were in ketches coming from Gilly Gilly. They ran into the Jap landing barges and turned on a real blue. They sank some of the Jap barges, lost a ketch themselves, but the other got away. The RAAF boys sank a Jap landing craft and damaged others.
But the Japs landed.
Sure, they landed. But the 61st militia lads stopped the rot, put a Jap tank out of action with hand grenades and forced the Japs back from round KB Mission. Can you hear the RAAF fighters and bombers handing it out to the Japs who are still on shore?
Now and then. But, Doc, there'll be more Japs coming.
Could be. And they'll get the same reception their mates are getting. Now, don't let it get your pulse rate up.
And what about my mob? The 2nd 5th Thrill Regiment. How are they holding out, Doc?
The drop shorts. They never get near enough to get hurt. Now, just a couple more tablets. When you wake up, war will be won. There you are.
You awake, Copper?
What do you think? That racket's enough to keep anyone awake. What's wrong?
Oh, nothing. Just want to see if you're awake. You might have to do a bit of a shift in a hurry. Oh, nothing to worry about.
No. By the sound of that firing, there'll be nothing to worry about.
Oh, it's a fact. The Japs have cut through the 2nd 10th Battalion with tanks. But that means nothing. Look at the way our boys did over the Jap flamethrower and those other Jap tanks with grenades. Oh, it's nothing to worry about. Just looks bad out there in the dark. Trouble is, the boys from the 61st Battalion have been in it for 2 nights now, and it's a lot of fighting. The ones we're getting in here are coming in pretty tired.
I don't like the sound of a Doc.
I tell you, she's Jake.
Sounds like it. We've got to be ready to shift. Jep's cut through the 2nd 10th, and the 61st is feeling the pressure.
So what? The Jeps have been trying for the airstrip, but the boys from the 25th Battalion are there with those Yank machine gunners. We're as safe as houses. Casualty clearing. Yeah, Doc here. Oh, how's it going, Joe? Good out. Yeah, she'll be apples. What did I tell you? Everything's fine. Our boys have held the Japs back from the airstrip, and the Japs have abandoned a couple of tanks. They're stuck in the mud. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Oh, yes, and we'll just have to move you temporarily.
Yeah?
Yeah. Seems like somebody's got a bee in his bonnet. Maybe panicked a little. Just a sort of formal warning gone out about Japanese infiltrating into our area. We've just got to shift back a bit from the edge of the jungle. You know, just a precaution.
Are they going to put guards around us?
Well, no, not exactly. We're a bit outside the defense area, but we've got listening posts out. We'll be right. You'll see.
Days before the Japanese attack on Milne Bay, the 110th Casualty Clearing Station landed as a hospital for the Australian forces in the area. Handicapped by a constant deluge of rain, and often unable to move because of mud, they erected their tents in the best of the shocking country. The surgical section, working under extraordinary difficulties, dragged the generator into the muddy area by jeep, and within 20 hours the unit was ready for action. Then the Japanese made their first of 3 landings, and casualties began to flow into the hospital, often brought in by tracked vehicles. The surgical teams worked day and night, and the hospital, only a collection of mud-daubed tents, draped with palm branches and sagging in the soaking kunai grass, functioned efficiently. Fighting the constant rain, the cloying mud, the malaria, and poisonous soil that floated above seeping water, the hospital had to give thought to possible penetrations by Japanese. Water was short, and at times had to be carried from creeks or caught in tent flies. Rations were short, and there was a shortage, too, of essential medical supplies. Scrubbed typhus revealed itself, and there came reports of further Japanese amphibious forces headed towards Milne Bay. Faced with these handicaps, in an area where thousands of men were locked in a life-and-death struggle, the gallant hospital went about its task of caring for and healing the sick and wounded.
your diagnosis of that, Doc?
Nothing to worry about. Probably the Japs celebrating the Emperor's birthday.
Very plausible. If you're talking to a gunner, I'm going to tell you that's a naval ship.
Yeah, that'll be right. You told us this morning we could expect a naval bombardment tonight. But that's nothing to worry about. That means we have to go without smokes and be careful with lights. Those Japs never hit anything. Just fire blindly. And by the sound of that rain, the Japs won't be able to see the shore, let alone any targets. Good night to be home in bed with a good book, eh?
Yeah. And a cup of cocoa and about 10 slices of toast, well buttered, and a couple of chicken legs to finish up.
Yeah, you might have something there. Chuck has been a bit on the beak lately, hasn't it?
You can say that again. Biscuits and bully beef. Anyone mentions bully to me after the war, and I'll crown him.
You see one of the cooks today making some pretty good bread out of flour that was damaged by rain. Mixed it with fermented coconut juice. You know, sort of homemade yeast. Looked all right, I can tell you, Copper.
Yeah, I reckon it would, too. Anything to eat would look all right just now.
Talking won't put anything under the belt. Anyway, we're not badly off. The surgical team's working out there, and the mud are really earning it the hard way. Our Major Riga, he's heading both teams. He's crook himself, but he keeps on going. I tell you, he can have that job for mine. Second ninth blokes make the surgical fellows keep a real strict blackout. And she gets mighty steamy in that marquee while they're operating, which is all the time. Gets so thick you can hardly breathe in there. I tell you, those jokers earn their pips.
That's for sure. Yeah, you blokes do a mighty job.
I had some of the Army medical big shots up today to have a look at our blokes' work. Brigadier Johnston and Colonel Maitland came in to have a look at the area. The main dressing stations were cut off by floods. The creek ford at Flying Fox was under 7 feet of water. All the bridges were out. They saw a 10-wheeled truck carrying casualties go under, trying to cross one of the creeks. I reckon that when they get back to headquarters, they'll requisition an ark for us.
You told me before they were bringing in casualties by boat.
Yeah, that's right. Been doing it for days now. Just as safe on the creeks and around the beaches as it is on the roads now. The roads have broken right away. Too much traffic and too much rain. Yeah, I don't know how the second ninth boys will go.
Second ninth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't know. They moved out tonight to see how good the Japs are.
I'd like to be out there with them. The fella feels a bit of a loafer lying in here while the others are out there fighting. When do you reckon I'll be right to rejoin the unit, Doc?
Depends how you look after yourself. Sooner the better, as far as we're concerned. Oh, don't really mean that, Copper. But I tell you, the position here is getting sticky. Our surgeons have done 96 ops in the past 7 days. 76 operations out in that primitive operating field.
96 in 7 days. Makes you think, Doc.
Sure. I guess there'll be close to 400 sick blokes and about 160 wounded lying around in these tents and native-type huts. Sort of taxes the medical setup, particularly when there's no facilities. You know, no sanitary setup and convalescent places, stuff like that. Oh, but she won't be long. I picked up a message on the bush wireless today.
Yeah?
Now, keep it to yourself. Don't want the fellas to get all head up and then find it's a furphy.
Not a word to a soul, Doc.
Hospital ship's due.
You fair dinkum? When, Doc? When's she due?
Now, don't forget. Keep it to yourself. Any day now. She's left Brisbane. And the next thing, you'll see her sitting out there with big red crosses on her.
What about the Japs, Doc? These warships firing at us tonight. Well, they're going to have a go at her, aren't they?
Time will tell that, Copper. We can only try. I'll tell you something else, too. Unless you have a relapse, you're going to be allowed to sit outside for a while tomorrow. Maybe you can see her come in. That's if no relapse, mind. Well, Copper, how's it feel out in the open?
Like winning the lottery, Doc. Oh, but hell, what a mess she is outside here. Mud, abandoned trucks, trees smashed.
We've been a war on. But you've got something better to look at. Haven't you had a look out in the harbour in the last few minutes?
Doc, the hospital ship?
Yeah, the good old Manunda. Ah, picture, isn't she? Just coming in as the sun's setting.
Picture is right, Doc. Clean sheets, good tucker. No mud. And look, she's just turned her lights on.
So the Japs will know she's a hospital ship. I hope they do, because the second first casualty clearing stations aboard her. Stores and personnel. And we could certainly do with a hand out of here.
And these wounded blokes, they have to get away from this neck of the woods, Doc. Nobody really crooked has got much of a show here.
Ah. There's a lot against the sick man here. The climate, the malaria, lack of food and proper equipment. The whole place is disease-ridden. The soil's rotten with germs. The scrub typhus. Everything's against the man here, Copper. The sooner we get the sick boats onto that ship, the better.
Hey, break it down. The sick bloke's here.
What's the matter?
The Japs. That was a naval shell.
Yes, still what? Look out there through the slit in the tent. You see her? She's still there, isn't she?
Yeah. And all the lights on. What are the Japs shelling?
They brought in a Jap cruiser and a destroyer. Came in cheeky as monkeys. Closer than they've ever been before. And they swung their searchlights all over them and under. And a real good look at her. And came closer and turned their guns onto that supply ship tied up at the wharf. It's the Anshin. Oh, look at her burning.
But they left the hospital ship alone, eh?
Up to date, they have. I'd like to see all the sick aboard and the Menunda heading for home. That's what I want to see.
Why aren't they getting the sick blacks aboard, Doc?
Oh, a bit of a hold-up. That supply ship the Jap cruiser sank last night has blocked the jetty. You've got to take them all out by the ship's lifeboats. You see? There goes the first of them now.
Yeah, I see them. Half their luck.
What's the matter? You're right now. Near enough. And just when she's all over, bar the shouting.
It wasn't much good to the regiment, was I, Doc? A fella couldn't have picked a worse time to get malaria. Look at them now. They're hoisting the lifeboats up the side.
That's the only way they can get the stretchers off. Not being alongside the jetty makes it a real slow job. Yeah, I reckon now they'll be here for a couple of days unloading instead of moving out tonight.
Sort of tempting fate.
Yeah, sort of. But my guess is she'll be all right. That stands to reason the Japs must have given orders to leave her alone or that cruiser would have sunk her last night.
I hope you're right, Doc. But the way I'm thinking is that there isn't much reason in this war. Not the way the Japs are fighting it, anyway.
Well, I was right about last night, Copper. Those Jap warships paid us another visit, but they left the Menunda alone.
Thank God, Doc. Didn't you picture sitting out there?
The prettiest part of the picture is those slings they're unloading from her. That's the stores for the field hospital coming here to give us a hand. Yeah, it certainly is pretty. Nip Eggbeater's going to pay us another visit. You see him yet?
No. Yes, I do. Look, right across the other side of the harbour. There's a few of them. You see now they're heading this way.
Yeah. I see them. I see the Menunda too.
They're not going.
Aren't they? There go the eggs.
Fine. Oh, but they missed her, Doc. It was only a stray and they missed her.
But close enough to make the Menunda up anchor and get half of the other hospital stores on too, I reckon. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to pull out. Well, I don't blame them. Give our regards to Port Moresby, blokes. And don't drink all the beer when you get down south.
Well, cheer up, Doc. And don't go all weepy on us. Hey, aren't you the same bloke that was giving me the big sales talk last night about the Japs having pulled out from Mill Bay under that fire from the warships? Weren't you telling me it was all over by the shouting? That there were only stragglers left now in the jungle and our blokes were mopping them up? What's the matter, pal?
Oh, nothing really, Copper. Nothing. Just looking at that ship go, sort of remembering what it's like to have everything at your fingertips in a hospital. Having a clean antiseptic surgery where a wounded bloke has a fighting chance. I was just forgetting the shambles here. Oh, but we'll be right, you'll find. We've got the best medicine to cure any ills now. Our blokes are giving the Japs a licking. That'll put new life into them. Gotcha.
That's the next one we got to beat. The Mozzie. He's knocking off more of the blokes than the Nip.
In the 6 days of fighting, the soldiers and airmen on that muddy, spongy swamp around the fringe of Milne Bay killed more than 700 Japanese. And another 300 were sunk with a troopship bombed during one of the three landings. For our part, we lost 200 killed and wounded, and we would have lost many more had it not been for the skill and devotion of the medical services in that evil area. With the final destruction of the enemy there, the 110th Casualty Clearing Station built a fine, hutted hospital on healthier ground, and then, re-equipped and refreshed, turned to fight another war. The war against malaria. And in that Milne Bay area where the Japanese was turned away from his goal, another victory was won. The medical services there provided a classic lesson in malarial prevention. It was a lesson that was to save many more Australian lives after the fighting passed.
Correspondent, recorded by Robert Peach Productions, is presented for your entertainment by the Australian Army's Directorate of Public Relations.